actually speak after, you know. I actually do think it was a setup as well, you know. It was a setup because I was never part of the discussion when and where do you want to be slotted in, you know. Yeah, and but it's, thank you for the invite. It's wonderful to be here. You know, thank you for those generous words, Franz. You know, Franz is a leader. He's my leader as well. He forgot to mention that, you know. He ministers a lot to me. And, I was very blessed that, you know, as we met, that's a good over 30 years, about 30 years ago, you know, as I came in, you know, I came into a ministry where he had laid so much seed, you know, so much, you know, he had tilled the ground, he had done so much work, and, you know, actually we went in and it was, enjoyed doing what I'm doing, working with young people especially, but it was a walk in the park there, you know, because of the work that he had done before. Yeah. I often always say that I'm boasting in the Lord. Yeah, my greatest accomplishment is I love my sons, I love my family, you know, and I look back at Itumeleng. How old is Itumeleng? About 33 now, I think, you know, and I look back and I say, you know, Lord, you have done it, and you know, you chose me as a vessel. You chose me as a servant there, and I thank you for that. I bless you for that. You know, Jonathan. You know, we're going to be together this afternoon with all three. Michael as well. You know, we left back home. It's wonderful. You know, and I would like to share, you know, from out of my life, my own life, really. And I think about what we are talking about, you know, that actually the breakthrough, it should have been dealing with the father wound. The father wound we all have, deal with it. We have the father wound, deal with it. Don't sit in that and enjoy it and, you know, throw pity parties around you, especially that we are of the faith, we are conscientized, we know who we are. In him, you know. Father wound, we have it. Deal with it. A common story is told of a son. You know, there's many variations of the story. But a story is told of a son, you know, who grew up, and as he was growing up, you know, he showed all the signs that we have shown growing up as sons, as daughters, you know, get to a place where, you know, as personality grows, as personality shows, you know, you become perhaps a bit rough on the edges and a rebel. And it got to a point where really there was clash with the authority of the father and ended up going out of the house to fend for himself and find himself. And that is how the son, you know, left the house. And in all that, however, you know, as the son left, you know, there were a number of things that happened in him as well. You know, you look at their lives, there were things that happened. But before that, I'll ask for assistance as well, somebody to read for us from Psalm 34, verse 18. And then if someone else could just put their finger on Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 19. We're going to read there. Somebody to read from Psalm 34, verses 18. Okay, you tell me when you're ready. But when the son as well, you know, was leaving home, spiritually as well, I mean, socially, they were manifesting all sorts of behaviors and all sorts of challenges that they were going through, you know. I mean, just on a social level, you know, the friends that you would have, the choices that you would make in terms of how I want to be, who I want to be, you know, it manifested in that. Somebody, Psalm 34, please read for us there.
The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are fast in spirit.
Amen. The Son would manifest all sorts of things. And what I'm trying to drive at there is that, you know, obviously the relationship with the Father, the relationship with the parents there, you know, it shaped him one way or the other in how his relationship came to be. And I'm saying that because in all of us, in us, there is a Father-shaped wound that we carry. There is a limp that I walk with that is Father-shaped in me, coming out from my relationship with my Father, coming out of how my bringing up was, you know. And it's very important for us to look at that and understand that. Just like this son that I'm talking about, you know, at the physical level, you know. I mean, most of us, we work with people. I've worked with the young people for many years, you know. Often I love observation. I like looking. And when you observe, even as you observe me, what you see, how I present myself, how I am, how I come across, whoever, you know, that speaks of my bringing up as well, how I was impacted, how I was shaped, you know. We carry that. We cannot just at some point divorce it and say that I'm no longer going to be like that. So we carry this father-shaped wound in all of us, you know. It is not, however, let me just emphasize that it does not necessarily diminish the role of the mother in our lives. That is very, very important. In fact, as a matter of fact, many a mother, you know, in most of our African cultures and languages, there is a proverb, a very vivid proverb that says, a woman holds a sharp knife on the sharpest edge. She can take the blows, you know, and she can understand that. There is many mothers who actually play the role of a father, who actually play the role of dominance in a child, to shape a child. So it is not to diminish that. Nonetheless, it is still important that, you know, the role of the father. I share this message often speaking to men, because we want to promote an active, engaged presence and a role that is played by fathers in the lives of their children. Maybe let me repeat that. To promote an active, engaged presence of fathers in the role of their children, you know. And we are talking about these times that we live in, when it is so busy, when sometimes a father, you have to be out there, you know, and your family say, you know, because of perhaps the challenges that we go through. Sometimes you are a father who does not necessarily live in the same house with the mother of your children, or there was never a marriage. No, but that does not mean that I cannot play an active present engagement and role in the life of my children. So that is what we want to promote and deal with. Our father wound often comes out of that, you know, a role. How does the father play the role of their fatherhood in the life of the child? It shapes them in one way or the other, in many ways, in all ways. And perhaps at that point as well, to ask, as we speak about this, as we deal with this, that what is your father wound? You know, big man as I am a premature. You know, my mother never forgot to remind me at all times that you other kids were full term 9 months. Your full term was 6 months in my belly, and you were born at 6 months. You know, and so therefore, you, and I'm seventh of eight children. But between I'm in between two very brilliant people. Our last born, my young brother, a very brilliant young man. Mathematics was a game. When some of us were struggling with the maths and all these equations, it was a game for him. And then my sister, after whom I come, you know, very brilliant with the accounting, and they were both just brilliant intellectually at school. Then there was poor me in between these two, you know. I almost said I was not the brightest of sparks. No, I want to speak against that. But nonetheless, growing up, my academic achievements, of which my dad was, he was very strong in terms of that, loved education, you know. He was a politician of note, a leader of note, you know, in the community, you know. And then there's poor me, you know, who whenever I had a little bit of a cold, my mother would always say, "Ah, shame my baby." And I grew up with that mentality that everybody must feel shame for me. Everybody must feel that I need your help. I need your sympathy. I need your understanding. That shaped me, you know, with a father who was, you know, who was also always very preoccupied behind his Rand Daily Mail, his newspaper, you know. "Daddy, yes, son," you know, he would always speak to me behind his newspaper, to all his children. But what that did to me, it drove the message through that I am not seen, I'm not recognized. I'm only heard, but I'm not really listened to and focused on. What is your father wound? My father wound came out of that, you know. But we need to deal with it. We don't just sit in it and let it. Because this, it shapes you. Your image, your understanding of yourself. My understanding of myself came out of that. All our lives, you know, we live with that. We hear of messages that, you know, like father, like son, and sometimes something in me just jumps up, perhaps a rebellious spirit in me that says, "Yes, I'm my father's son, but I am not my father." I remember that the type of father that I became, I remember when I came of understanding, you know, when I made a very conscious choice that I'm never going to be like my dad. I am not, especially when I witnessed the first love of my life, my mother, being given this by my dad, this man who had a feast, I think, three times of mine, you know. And when I saw that violence, it really, really rocked my world, you know. But I remember when God visited me and gave me that consciousness at a very, very young age, I'm going to be nothing like my dad. But sometimes, you know, that becomes a lie, because the anger that lies in you, it manifests itself in many other ways as you grow up. It manifests itself in other ways. And I remember picking up later as a young man, when I was in a relationship myself, that I had this anger in me that was well tucked under layers and layers of consciousness that actually would come up at the very oddest of moments in my life. And hence, the father wound deal with it. We have to deal with it. And God brings us to a consciousness of that. You know? But somebody read for us Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Who's got it? 18 to 19. Amen. You know, in all that, you know, as we look at, you know, our own upbringings, the frustrations we may carry, that all the challenges we may, all the goodness we may have grown up with and through, I am reminded that, you know, Jesus comes onto the stage and he says, upon me, you know, there is this mission, you know, to proclaim the good news, to release those who are in bondage, to bring healing. And we are reminded that, you know, the kingdom of God always moves towards brokenness and lostness. The kingdom of God moves towards that. He particularly states that, you know what, I am here to bind and heal the wounds of those who are wounded, and to bind the hearts of the brokenhearted, you know. And so therefore, even in the midst of this, God moves towards that. Christ moves towards that. How have you dealt with them? Those challenges and the brokenness that is in us, the wound that we carry, you know. Christ moves towards that. Okay. And perhaps at this point, I also just wanted to, you know, also just wanting to respect time, I just wanted to looking and dissecting, I know I won't do justice, I'm not a scholar in terms of that, you know, but look at the pathology of the father wound that we carry, you know. Even in terms of our very own context, our very country where we are, you know. This is what some of the common causes, for instance, of the father wound does. Neglect, you know. Neglect, when we neglect our children, when we are not active and present, I'm not talking about a phone call. I'm not talking about the once in a lifetime, you know, connection with the child, you know, with my sons or my grandchildren, you know. I'm not talking about that. Neglect that. I can be there sometimes. That's why I'm talking about active and present. I can be there, but I can be very, very far removed and absent from them. You know, we can sit and engage, but I know it. I know it. My dad, who, in fact, my father, I remember very, very vividly, you know, as I said, he was a politician, you know, actually one of the very core founder members of the trade union movement in South Africa way back in the 50s, you know. He jet set around the world organizing. He would be home a good, exciting 3 weeks. He would be gone for 6 months. He would be back, and whilst we are enjoying his presence, he would be there for 2 days and he would be gone for 4 months. That is how it was. So that spells neglect, because even in his being at home, he would be so preoccupied. You know, his wife, my mother, you know, would need his attention. There are things that needed his attention, but his comrades took all his time. Abuse, you know. I experienced that. And I know that many of us can relate to that. Abuse, which is not just physical, but sometimes verbal, you know. I remember, you know, coming home, running home, Daddy, Daddy, look at my report card, you know. And, okay, whilst he's looking at my report card, my younger brother would produce his, and mine would be shoved to the side, you know. Wow, my son, so good, you know. And I'm still waiting. Mine is going to come. It never came, you know. And that spells out abuse as well. Absence, you know, is another cause of the father figure. Being absent, you know. Children want our presence, not just sometimes, not just daily, but all the time. Our presence to be there with them. But also, another that I wanted just to point out as well, control. You know, when I experienced that with my dad, when he's around, he's got to assert himself, his authority, control, you know. He's got to be a father. He's got to wear his, what would you say in Afrikaans? He's got to wear his brooks when he's there. You know, his pants. And it's got to be felt. Because fathers spell authority. But then there is something wrong when his authority is only felt when he's seen. But it's not there when he's not seen, when he's absent. Because all the mice come out to play. All the rebellion comes out, shows itself. And the mother has to take all that, you know. Hence you'll hear mothers all the time, you know, which disempowers them even further. I'll tell your father when he comes, you know. So when he comes as a roaring lion, actually, you know, because of all that. So therefore, that as well, we need to be very watchful of it, you know. And sometimes what happens is that we are very withholden as a man, as a father, especially in the context of all the challenges socioeconomically that is upon us. I am there, but I am withholding my emotion. You know, I'm withholding my affection. I'm withholding my compassion. You know, I've got to be there and a present, and I've got to be felt. Not just in terms of disciplining, but I've got to be felt that the man is here. You know, when kids, especially boys, when they say that, they're talking about their hero. He's got to feel that the man is here. Michael, my youngest son, how old is Michael? 22? Oh. He's 23, you know. Michael, you know, how he loved, I would take him to school, primary school, and he would always want to show the kids, look how strong my dad is, and I've got to lift up my arm, and he's got to hold on to my arm and swing on my arm, and at that time I'm panting, but I won't dare show it, you know, and he's got to, they want that. They want that. And I remember how God took me consciously throughout their lives because I thought that I made a vow. I don't want to be anything like my father was. There were times when, France is very much part of showing me that. There are times when I swung way over that disciplining sometimes, you know, the hard no wouldn't be there because I decided that I'm not going to be like my father. But it doesn't help now to swing all the way to the other side, to the other end of the spectrum, you know. So we need to deal with that a father wound. Some of the effects now. I was talking about the causes, you know. Other causes would be practical discord and disharmony, you know, between mother and father. Children observe that, they see that, you know, how dad maybe there's this silence between mom and dad because we are sulking at one another. You know, we've got things we're muttering under our breath. You know, kids observe that. Kids see that. You know, perhaps we've got certain aloofness. My wife from me from my wife. Kids observe that. They see that, and it sticks. It sticks with them. You know, parental tension and bickering sometimes. You know, the little bickering that would happen as well. So how, as well, parents, you know, deal with one another with children, that can cause, you know, the father wound. But looking at some of the effects, for instance, you know, if you look at the stats and pathology of social delinquency in our country, the truth of the matter is that in the world, you know, most of it, you know, where if you want to deal with that, trace it right back to the relationship of the children with the father, with the parents from the home. That's what it does, you know. So my role with my children, you know, I'm actually setting a tone for what kind of citizens are they going to be. Social delinquency, you look even at the stats of a children at a conflict with the law, you see there. You know, you look at the stats and pathology of a school and educational performance, you know. Their relationship with the father will affect how they perform. Directly, it will affect how they perform at school, you know. And you'll find that some of the so-called, you know, those kids that teach us, not you, I know you are so good. Some of the kids that some teachers would put in the naughty corner on the naughty table are some of the smartest kids. But their behavior manifests in a way that they are labeled troubled kids. You look at the stats and pathology of mental health issues, mental health and behavioral issues that the children have. Most kids who have troubled, you know, relationship with their fathers, or who have a very absent, you know, a father in their lives, are very likely to suffer mental health issues in their lives. Just one last example. I remember working in a Youth for Christ. When we worked at Youth for Christ, we always trained teams from all over around Southern Africa. We had traveling teams. And when we trained them for about 3 months, we would be at the training center with them. And we would deal with a whole lot of things. But particularly black boys, whenever we dealt with a certain topics and issues of growing up, you know, they really, really struggled and battled, because boys have been taught, you don't cry, you are a man. Boys don't cry, you know. One of the best things that I have enjoyed with my sons, and in fact I've got this habit, I've got this culture with my sons, from my oldest to my youngest being 23, one of the things I do, whenever I greet them, I hold them, I embrace them, I kiss them, right here on the lips. That's what we do. That's a culture we have developed. Because it's important. That is important. I've missed it. I know I've missed it. And I thank God for showing me that that is what you need to do to break that. Could someone turn to John chapter 5, verses 20 and 21, in closing? And somebody turn to Jeremiah 6:14, please. Very quickly, before I get into trouble here. All right. Can we start with the Jeremiah? Jeremiah 6:14, please. Here the prophet Jeremiah is speaking to Israel in light of the looming disaster of the fall of Jerusalem. And this is what he says in verse 14. 6:14, please. Do not deal with the wound that we have lightly. Don't treat it lightly. The wound that we carry, that I carry, that you carry, that you carry. Do not just rush to it with a band-aid and put a band-aid. Do not just rush there with aspirin and a pronounced peace. You know, you come to counseling, we sit and, oh no, let's pray. God has dealt with. We need to do the pricking, the inner work. We got to go into it, deal with it, face it. For we all carry that wound. But this is the promise that we have in John chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. Somebody read John chapter 5 for us. When the son was away, he fought with the father, they disagreed, and he went away, eventually joined the army and went to the army. But whilst he was away, he met all sorts of challenges in life. The hard knocks of life, the school of life there, reminded him that, you know what? I've got a father, I've got a mother, I've got a home. But he knows the circumstances under which he left. And he wrote back home and he said, Dad, I know that, you know, we are not at a good place. And I am probably not welcome back in your house. But I do want to come and see you. Perhaps you may not want that. I will come home, and when I drive past the farm, you know, if you are okay with it, you know, perhaps I will see with a flag that you can hang at the gate, at the tree next to the gate, and I will know that, you know, I can come. But I do this with all humility in me, you know. I'm really sorry, Dad, that what happened, happened. And the son came home. And when he came home, as he turned around the corner, there was not one flag, there was not two flags, but the whole tree was covered in flags. And the dad was waiting and saying, my son, I want you to come. And that is what God does as we deal with the wound. Can we pray together? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you gave us Christ Jesus. In your mission, Lord, to reconcile us to you, you gave us your Son, your only begotten Son. You spared no effort to bring us home to you, Father. And we thank you for that, O Dad. We thank you, Lord. And that is why, Father, today, in our spirits rises up the prayer in agreement with one another, and we say, Abba, Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that as we deal with this, we become better people, better ambassadors. We become better servants. We become better children. Grant us our breakthrough, O Lord. Grant us our breakthrough. Grant our children the breakthrough that they need. May we as fathers and as mothers, as parents, never stand in the way of our children coming to you and knowing you for who you are. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.